post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio, as always, resident analyst Arif Hussain. How are you, Arif?
I'm excited, Eamon.
You're excited, that's good. And absolutely fanatical Newcastle Jets fan, Michelle Bertrand, how are you?
Good evening, Eamon, and what a good evening it is for the Jets fan.
It is a fantastic evening for the Jets fans. It's grand final week. We're dead excited. We're going across Australia on the Australian Community Radio Network. We're talking grand final football all night. Michelle, what's coming up?
We've got, in the first half hour, we've got Arif's big issue, the A-League. Peter Fitzsimmons, former Wallaby journalist and outstanding author.
Boo. He doesn't like football, so we have to boo Peter.
We've got the fastest footballer in the world, Matilda's Lisa Devana. And for Canberra listeners, we have an interview with SBS analyst Craig Foster.
Hooray, we've got Fozzie football talk. That's good.
And we've got some quiz questions.
Although he gets stuck into me, so that's not so good. But anyway, okay, thanks for that. You can email us on nearpost2xx@gmail.com, the nearpost2xx@gmail.com. And you can catch the podcast on the blog every week, www.nearpost.blogspot.com. Special dedication to Barry McGlynn, Queensland Raw fan, who used to give us his tips, but they're out, so sorry about that, Barry. But we dedicate this week's show to all Novocastrians across the world, whether you're in England or in up there on the Hunter Valley. Newcastle Jets are going to play in the grand final. So for they came in a little bit late, Michelle, but they made it. So we dedicate this show to Newcastle Jets. We've already dedicated one show to the Mariners, so I think this one is for the Jets fans.
But the Jets did a whole lot better than the other Newcastle team.
They always do. Yeah, that's true. So I don't know. Well, probably too many Aussies in the other team, or not. Okay, I've got a quiz question for you. Here it is. How many brothers, this includes managers and players, how many brothers play in the A-League, either players or managers? And you can, there's a few marks going, and if you get any right at all, we'll give you a gold star. But how many brothers play in the A-League? And we'll be back right after this to tell you. And that was the voice of Mike Cockerell telling us how the Jets did it. Now, the answer to the quiz question before we get into A-League talk is how many brothers, either players or managers, or how many sets of brothers play in the A-League? Michelle, give it your best shot.
Four.
Okay. Arif?
I can think of two.
You think of two? Okay. Well, can we name some?
Joel Griffithson.
Okay, that's it. Get in there early. Joel and Adam Griffith, there's one.
And Elrich, who scored the... an excellent goal.
All those Jets brothers, Tarek and Ahmed. He might be joining his brother at Newcastle next season as well. Yeah. So there's two, Arif. I think Michelle has probably stolen the easy ones, but any more?
That's all I've got, mate.
Okay, any more? Okay, so that's full marks for you, Michelle. I'll give you, and Arif, because you said two, even though we don't know whether you actually knew them. We'll still give you the marks. The other brothers, of course, are Vidmar, Tony and... the other fella, Aurelio, down at Adelaide, and
soon to be retired.
Soon to be retired. Well, yeah, he is retiring after Sunday. And the other brothers who I've completely forgot are Aloisi, John Aloisi, and Ross Aloisi. And probably one that is probably a little bit more difficult over in Perth Glory, Tyler and Jordan Simpson. There may be others, I may not know them all, but there's five for you, okay? Okay, so the big issue this week, Arif, it's grand final week, third year in. Absolutely, what is going on with football in this country? So the big issue is, where is football at the moment?
Where is football at the moment, Eamon? The success of the A-League, we've talked about it before, but it's quite impressive.
We'll talk about it again. We like talking successful football, yeah.
Of course, for successful things, you have to talk over and over again.
You do.
And the A-League as a product has been a successful phenomenon. I mean, 2 years ago, when... you know, we had the review, we had the all sorts of problems. But who would have thought that 3 years on, we'd be getting the crowds, we'd be getting the quality, we'd be getting the media coverage, and we'd be getting the good young players coming through. Who would have thought? So it's a fantastic effort. So I think that's this week's big issue, just how good or how much success have we had in 3 years and just how much more is there in store.
And you mentioned some key factors there, like, you know, well, some of the successes. But what do you think has been the key? If there's one reason why it has succeeded, why do you think it is? Is it the you know, the media coverage, the TV deal?
I think that's probably one of the reasons. The media coverage. You know, without media coverage and without the crowds and without the people coming in through the gate, we just don't.
We just would not have what we have today. So it's fantastic.
It certainly is. And I think the TV, we've never had it presented in the way that football is being presented through the TV. You can pick up all the national newspapers these days and find football there. That certainly helps.
You know, in the Daily Telegraph, there's on Mondays, as you well know, or is it Tuesdays?
It's Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, as you well know. There's a whole section devoted to football. And
they even call it football.
They even call it football. Yeah. Absolutely. That's unprecedented, you know.
It is.
I mean, you know, in the days of... I remember the days when, you know, you'd have to read the foreign newspapers. You'd have to go down to the news agency and get those magazines. I can't even remember what they were called.
But foreign football magazines.
Foreign football
that's
magazines.
That's
what they were called. Just to get a score. But now they're
it's crazy.
Nowadays, they're
Michelle, everywhere. What about you? How have you viewed this new A-League and the success that...
We've got some pretty big players coming to Australia and the kids are really into it. So it's all across the board, I think, from young to old. And even the women are really getting into football now. So it's in all age group now.
Yeah, that's a big factor. I think the women and the girls that are playing and also getting into watching the football, like yourself, Michelle, a fanatical Jets fan. So we're going to expand on Friday. I think they're going to tell us that we've got two more teams, Gold Coast and who's the other one? Townsville. Yep. So can we take two more teams?
That's one of the things that I see is one of our big challenges in the future. I mean, it's all good. It's all well and good that, you know, I mean, you and I have been advocating A-League team in Canberra for as long as we've been on, I guess.
We'll never stop.
Now, the problems, there are some problems and there are some challenges. One of the big challenges that that I can foresee is just the whole, if there's more team, there'll be more games. And if there are more games, they'll be competing against some of the other football codes. For example, if we had two extra teams, we'd have at least four extra games.
Yeah, so we're going to extend into either start earlier or extend into the AFL Rugby League.
That's right. So, I mean, without being, you know, flippant, I guess, those teams, those codes have well-established histories. And in towns like Newcastle and, some of the other Gold Coast, I guess, we're competing for the same people to turn up. So those are one of our big challenges that I can foresee.
So we've had definitely great success. We're more than happy with that, but there are some concerns about how far we can go. All right, Arif, thanks for your big issue. We have coming up after this promo, we've got Mr. Anti-Football himself in Australia, Peter Fitzsimons. He writes for the Sydney Morning Herald. He's always given football. He's always bagged it, and you can hear from him. This promo probably leads nicely into what Peter would think about football.
It's just excruciating to watch. It's just excruciating to watch. It's just excruciating to watch.
And here is former Wallaby Peter Fitzsimons.
Peter.
Hello, Peter. It's Eamon Flanagan from the Australian Kiwi.
I'm ready to go. What are we talking about?
We're talking about football. I'm talking to Peter Fitzsimons, a renowned author and former Wallaby, also SMH columnist. Peter, the grand final's in Sydney this weekend. Are you going?
Oh, this is the grand final in soccer.
That's the one, Peter.
Now tell me, who's playing? Is it Newcastle Jets?
Newcastle Jets versus the Central Coast Mariners. So what are your thoughts?
That's the one. Where are they playing?
They're playing in Sydney at the SFS, the home of the Waratahs.
Right. Well done, soccer, I say.
Okay.
That, if we're talking about A-League and A-League finals.
We are.
Look, for years and years, people like me have put poo on soccer and said it'll never work in Australia, and it's all a very dull game and all the rest of it. I think we're probably slowly being proven wrong. I saw that thing on the news last night. Who was it? Newcastle Jets were playing somebody or other. Anyway, I was watching the crowd scene.
You were watching the game, Peter?
Oh, no. God, no. I didn't watch the game. But I watched the Channel 9 news, I think it must have been, or Sky News.
Yep.
Anyway, they had the scenes of the people jumping around and going crazy. There was a lot of them, and they seemed to be having a very good time. And I gather, generally, the A-League's been a pretty strong success, pretty much putting poo on all of those of us who said it wouldn't work.
So, you know, you've always bugged the game. So is that going to stop now, Peter, or...?
Oh, no, I don't think it'll stop. It's confusing, isn't it? But I say this. No, I always bag the game. That's probably a fair summation, actually. but I would say this, that it does interest me with soccer followers and rugby league followers and rugby union followers and Aussie rules and so forth. I must say the soccer people have to be the most thin-skinned. Do you not think that I have heard all my life that rugby is a game for Neanderthals with IQs below 100 and they're all just biffo boys and all this? I've heard that all my life. Do I care? Why would I care? I just get on with it. And it always amazes me like you might have seen the thing I put in the Sydney Morning Herald on Saturday where I said something about whoever it was, Newcastle Jets or Central Coast Mariners are in the grand final and I don't know who they're playing. But look, I'll get back to you next week.
Yep,
and that's
yep.
the absolute truth of it. I'm not sure who they're playing. I don't particularly care. But I do it, I suppose, because I know that there will be 150 soccer people around the country who will get great enjoyment by sending me blistering emails.
So why do you think this is? Why do you think football people or soccer people, as you like to say, are so, you know...
But I'm not the one to ask. You're the one for me to ask. You tell me, why do you think soccer people are like that?
I think because we haven't had a fair go in this country for years. And I think, you know, I also think, actually, Peter, that the traditional union fan has missed out, perhaps, on gaining more support from people like me, for example. Because they put so much garbage on the game of soccer, you know, over the years that it's actually alienated me from going to watch some of the other codes.
Well, we're... Yeah, look, I'm sorry, I don't know what to say.
But
the Kleenex, I don't know. Look, I don't know. Soccer, rugby's been pretty dull lately. The last year or two, rugby's been extremely dull. But I saw the game on Saturday night at the Sydney Football Stadium. It was not quite as dull as it has been, so I'm hopeful that rugby will come good. But, I tell you what, the best game I saw, I'll try to get some brownie points off you, the Australia... playing Brazil in that World Cup final, whenever that was a year or two ago.
Yes, I did notice you were in Germany.
That game, that was fantastic. And what a pity that Australia didn't manage to hold out Brazil in the end. What was it, 2 goals early in the second half, wasn't it?
So what was that, Peter, on the bandwagon?
Absolutely on the bandwagon. Eddie Maguire was running Channel 9 at that time and said, we're going to have the footy show over there in Munich. And I said, is there a bandwagon leaving? He said, yes. I said, well, you know, buy me a ticket. I'm happy to be there. The only problem was, when we got out on the stage, there was some very ancient theatre in Munich where there were 2,000 Australian soccer fans gathered. And at the beginning of the show, they came out with, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Newman. And everybody went, yay, Sam Newman. Shane Warne, yay. Trevor Marmalade, yay. Benefit Thomas, boo.
Boo.
I tried to sneak on the bandwagon when I thought nobody was watching, but they all remembered.
No, we all remember, Peter. So we can rely on the column to continue its sly digs.
Oh, yeah, but take them with a grain of salt. Don't be so precious about them. It's all good fun. It's only sport, and it's not even a very good one.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's always good that you have the last word.
Good on you.
From Perth glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post. Going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
And I say thank you to Peter Fitzsimons for a very, I think, well, I certainly enjoyed the interview. And coming up now, we talk to the fastest footballer in the world. Lisa Divana was in training with the Matildas, and this is what she had to say. Okay. I'm speaking to Lisa Divana, the fastest forward in the world. How are you, Lisa?
Yeah, I'm all right today.
Okay, so what's been happening, Lisa, for you since the World Cup?
I've just been trying to sort out my future for this year. I'm trying to get fit and just prepare myself as much as I can for the Asia and the Peace Cup for the year.
Any talks or thoughts about going overseas, so after Asia or...?
I'm hopefully going to most likely either somewhere in Europe, definitely. That's somewhere where I really want to go, where I feel confident and passionate about. But I think most likely it'll be Sweden.
Okay, and when would you be going, Lisa?
Hopefully soon, probably within a month time. I'm just sort of negotiating what's the better offer and the better league for me, because that's the most important thing for me right now.
So in women's football, do you have agents, or how does that work? Or is it really a question of just somebody rings you up and has a chat?
That's it. They just call you up and just work from there. I don't have a manager. I don't think any of the girls do either. We just go with the flow. And if a club's interested, we just sort of talk to Tommy or the FFA and sort of guide us through what would be the most suitable thing for us.
So you probably go to Sweden for a time and then come back for the Asia Cup. Is that what you think?
I'll probably most likely get released to go to the Asian Cup, the US Tour and the Peace Cup, and then go back to my club and just stay there till there's the next international, because, you know, we didn't qualify for the Olympics, which makes it a bit more harder for us to play more internationals. But then again, other countries want to play us because we're not going to the Olympics.
Now, you've been overseas before, I think, Lisa, is that correct? You went to England to play. Did you play in England or?
Yeah, I played for Doncaster Bells. End of 2006 to early 2007.
And they're a pretty famous English club. How was your time in the north of England there?
It was a good experience, as in to, you know, adapting to a different culture and learning to be more independent. But I was a little bit disappointed soccer-wise, because being England, being cold, everything gets waterlogged and postponed a little bit. But it was something that I truly valued in my life to do, because it's actually taught me a lot of things.
And what was the they've got quite a I suppose a well-known women's football league in England, with some of the teams like Doncaster Bells and Arsenal. How did you find the setup and the standard there?
I think I played for a team that wasn't as professional as in Arsenal, who are, you know, really seemed like a professional team. Even when we played against them, they just seemed very more organized. But It's getting better, like what I've been told, because I didn't get to play as much games while I was there. But when we did play, the other club sides, they seemed like they sort of got their organisation starting to kick in a little bit. And that showed when they went away to the World Cup. They were a team that were a pretty good, decent side team. A lot of the English girls had to be released to go play for their country, and when that happens, the game gets postponed a little bit. So that's what happened, and just because of the weather, and I didn't get to play as much as I wanted. But other than that, I did enjoy being there and sort of experience the lifestyle of, you know, what it's like to be out of Australia and playing for a different world of football.
And how have you found, Lisa, the response? I mean, your performance at the World Cup, absolutely outstanding, and lifted the whole of the football community. How have you felt? What do you feel about that?
It's in the day, I'm happy that women football and our team got the recognition that we deserve. We spent a long time trying to get the recognition, and, you know, we go out every day and practice, and just to go out there and be a part of a team to do so well is something that is more sentimental to me than as an individual.
Still to come, we've got more on the A-League, and for Canberra listeners, Craig Foster talks about Cozzy, style of play, Scottish coaches and the A-League.
And that was Lisa Divana from the Matildas off to Sweden. So Matildas are in camp over the last few days, and they've got three games coming up in Brisbane against New Zealand, who only have to play one game to get to the Olympics. They have to play Papua New Guinea. They were going to play two, but now they've just got to play the one game. So if they beat Papua New Guinea, they go to the Olympics, whereas the Australian girls, they had to play about 8 or 9 games and they missed out. So that's the benefits of Asia, I guess.
Who's top of the A-League and who's coming last? The near post, get there fast.
Okay, grand final time. Arif, what happened on the weekend? What was the score?
On the weekend, there was the preliminary, well, some
yeah,
kind of
nobody
final.
Nobody knows what these games are. It was just another game.
Another final game.
And if you win, you get into Asia or that's right. Grand final. That's all we know.
Well, yeah, was it like we foreshadowed last week, that the winner of this game between the Newcastle Jets and the Queensland Raw, there was a place in Asia at stake, as well as a place in the grand final. So the Newcastle Jets had the home game, and they won 3-2 after extra time.
They won. No, not. I think the referee had a slight hand in that one.
He did have a slight hand in it. There was three penalties.
And unlike all the coaches and players who can't talk about it, we can.
We can talk about it. That's
and
right.
I think the Newcastle Jets penalty. It wasn't a penalty.
It was rubbish. I don't think any of those were penalties, to be honest.
Well, the Mariners had two of the penalties, so...
They did have two. The Raw did have two. I thought the Mariners penalty...
Well, certainly the last one was Defoe penalty.
The last one was a penalty, but...
Okay, what about the first one? The first one was probably... Possibly.
Oh, I think the first one was... The first one was a little bit... that was a little bit harsh.
But the one on the Asian player... Hong Song, you don't think it was a penalty? Well, I don't think it was a penalty.
No. But it was an interesting game in that.
I don't think Fozzie would.
I think he was just making up for the first penalty.
I think so. It came. How did you feel, Michelle, when that 90 minutes in, you're going to the grand final. You're sitting next to Finsome, obviously on your partner, who's a Central Coast Mariners fan, on the other chair.
Yes, I was sitting on the other chair, and I didn't have a stress ball because I needed one. But
and the penalty, and what was Finsome's reaction?
He was really happy. He wanted the Jets to lose.
Did you throw the ball at?
No, but I really screamed when the Jets scored.
That's good. So why would the okay? What was the key thing in the game for you? Key moments.
I thought it was a good game in the sense that it started off a little bit cautious, but then the Jets got their first goal.
Didn't you love how the Brazilian? I love Brazilians and how they missed from 2 yards. Marcinho, anybody could have put that in, couldn't they? But not a Brazilian. They can't do it in our league.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be staying next year. Just quietly. Mm. But after the first goal went in. The Queensland Raw, they had to come out and play, and they did come out and play. They had a few chances.
Craig Moore went out with the bang, literally. Another bang.
He did.
He should have been sent off before his... Hmm. I mean, what is it? He's massively experienced, and he loses it. I don't understand it.
It's a interesting one because, Tiato did the same a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you'd
playing
think
that, in our so-called... Easily. I mean, Craig Moore's played Celtic Rangers games. You'd think he'd be used to it.
Exactly.
Okay, now let's focus on this weekend game. We've got a few minutes. What's, Michelle, who are you looking forward to win the game, win the championship for the Jets?
I think the Jets will win for sure.
Yeah, I know you think that, but who's going to do it for you?
I think Jade North is playing well.
Yep, so defence is important, particularly.
But hopefully Joel Griffith will come back to score a few of his many goals that he scored already.
Don't want to remind you, but last time you played the Mariners, you got thumped 3-0.
Oh, yes, that's all in the past now.
That's
the
idea.
We look forward to the future.
Arif, key players or key moments for you coming up?
I think one of the key aspects of this game will be that Newcastle have played two 120-minute games in a row,
yep,
2 weeks running, while the Mariners have been sitting back, putting their legs up, and not getting injuries or red cards.
No, I think all their injuries are... There's only Tom Pondoriuk that has a question mark
only
over him.
On his foot, but...
Also, I think they I won't say booted the Newcastle Jets off the park. I mean, that might be a bit strong, but they're certainly more physical with Mille Jednak and John Hutchison. I think it's going to be quite a physical game on the weekend.
I think it will be. The Jets have been talking up... the Griffith boy, the defender.
Adam Griffith. Yeah, no, he's playing well.
As a counterbalance or their own enforcer at the back.
But they keep the ball well, the Jets. But they sort of, when it comes down to it, it's they're a young side and the Mariners have got a lot of experience.
As Fozzie will be telling us a bit later on, they play a very pretty direct game. They've got John Aloisi at the front to lead the attack and cherry pick. So they're up against it, the Jets, and
I don't think Aloisi has ever won a trophy in football.
Yeah,
so. I mean, he's played for teams like Coventry and Portsmouth, so you're not going to win, are you? But so that'll be he'll be up for that one. Tony Vidmar will want to go out with the bat.
That's right. So so there are a couple of important things with the Mariners.
Prediction time.
Prediction time.
Yeah, it's all very well said.
I'll let Michelle go first.
Our technician, Louis Sahojas, I met him outside and he just said that the Jets will win 2-1. So that's one call for the Jets. Michelle, we know you're going to predict the Jets.
I think the Jets will win 2-1, but it will be in extra time.
And just to off air, you did say that you'd rather see beautiful football and the Jets lose than garbage football and a winner in the last minute for the Jets.
Just kicking the ball up forward, and that's no fun to watch.
What sort of a fan's that, eh? Well,
we have to have an entertaining game.
So we don't care as long as it's beautiful football.
I want them to win, obviously, but yeah. I would still want them to play well.
I can't come with that attitude. I don't like to win at
all.
Yeah,
we know. Well, yeah. I've heard the interview, Eamon, and we know you. You don't like that attitude.
Listen out for an interview coming up for the camera. This is with Craig Foster. He tells me.
My pick, I think the Mariners will be too strong for the Jets. They were too strong a couple of weeks ago. They've had the week's rest. Newcastle have had some long, hard games. And Mariners, no injuries. 2-0 Mariners.
2-0 to the Mariners. Well, I'm going to go for the romantic. It's going to be a beautiful game from the Jets. And I'm going to go for James Holland, Australia's up-and-coming player. I'd like to see him score the winner in the final. I think that would be a marvellous moment for football. Aloisi, he's been there, done that. He's had it. We all know John Aloisi. Fantastic. Kicked a goal and got us to some little tournament. But wouldn't it be great to see James Holland, some of his neat passes and just, finding the ball and suddenly...
As a neutral, hey, I think that would be a pretty good result. Now, an interesting thing...
Very quickly.
..from this is that they're not actually playing for any prize money this weekend. So whoever wins... they'd get nothing.
Nothing but the win.
But the discus-like
trophy.
Trophy.
All right, well, thanks for that, Arif and Michelle. And we'll be back, no doubt, to talk about who won the Cup next week. Can't wait. I'm going to the game.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
And welcome back to the near post. Thank you to Capital Football for their support of the show. My name's Eamon Flanagan. You're with Arif Hussain and Michelle Bertrand. We're talking Canberra football, but I guess we've got a little bit of focus on the grand final this weekend. We've got an interview coming up with Craig Foster, SBS analyst. He talks about the standard of football, so I guess that applies to all across Canberra as well as everywhere else, so he'll tell us what he thinks. We've also got Geordie John. Geordie John is from Bell North, and we have a little bit of, I don't know what you call it with Geordie John, but a little bit of banter, I guess. And, so we've got a big interview with Fozzie, and we'll have all the Capital Football news towards the end of the show. Okay, we have a little bit of music from... Kinkyman. Kinkyman wrote this song. He's a Newcastle Jets fan, and he's put together something for us for the grand final. Thank you, Kinkyman.
The roar that you can hear is for the Newcastle Jets making their way to the southern end of EAS. They are, of course, in their home strip of the predominantly gold. Put the binoculars on and have a look at the design in the back of the car of gold. Just here. The all gold shirt. Thompson still going, past three, Thompson! It'll be the goal of the season from Thompson, Matty Thompson! The Jets in front, at home, and the fans are in raptures.
A drop of the shoulder, a swivel of the hips and a change of direction. Matt Thompson hit the post with his first one, but not the second. That has gone straight through the heart of Queensland's goal. dare say, straight through the heart of Queensland.
Last night, the world was crying. Children dying. Out of the street.
And that was from Kinkyman from Newcastle Jets. He's heading off this weekend to watch the grand final, I assume, but he put that together for us. Thank you, Kinkyman. In Canberra, we've been they're talking about a World Cup bid across Australia, Arif. Would you like to see the World Cup or some World Cup games come to Canberra?
I think it would be a fantastic opportunity for Canberra to host a couple of, only the biggest sporting tournament in the world, a couple of games.
Yeah, I spoke to a couple of people in the chief ministers and other sports departments in the they weren't really sure about the World Cup, so I had to explain what it was. So that, I was a bit concerned about that, but, you know, it's early days, so we'll find out more. But
having been to a World Cup, Eamon, not that long ago, I can tell you that there is nothing like it. I went to the Olympics when they were in Sydney, but the World Cup, it's just in its... It's just totally different.
So what benefits would it bring to Canberra?
Oh, it'll bring tourists, it'll bring global exposure.
Canberra had some of the Olympic Games here.
They sure did. They had the women's football. I remember there was 25,000 people at the first game.
I went to watch some of them.
Yeah, so did I. I loved the Japanese fans, actually, at some of the games. They were
the atmosphere was still great.
It wasn't. I've never been to a sporting atmosphere like it.
Even then, you know, during the Olympics, mostly there were neutral fans, but during a World Cup, the neutral fans, there were maybe a couple of neutral fans, but it's just the passionate fans who come, who travel from all parts of the world following their team. It's just another thing altogether.
So the Near Post says, we want the World Cup in Canberra.
Absolutely.
John Stanhope, just do it. Make it happen.
He listens to this show, doesn't he, John?
Well, what else is he going to do at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night? Now, we've got Craig Foster coming up, SBS analyst, and he's got lots of things to say on football. And we've got a couple of a short interview coming up with him where he talks about the grand final, first of all. Well, he would if I managed to play the right
CD.
But so, Craig Foster, SBS analyst, talks about the grand final. He also talks later on about, he gives his views on the game, on the Scottish coaches, on my views on football. And it was quite interesting. Anyway, here he is. And former Socceroo, Craig Foster. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Okay, big game coming up in Australia, the grand final. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I'm hoping for a good game of football. I think it's all the indicators with the crowds this year have been fantastic with the A-League. Crowds are up, exceptional atmospheres, a lot of record crowds, and I hope we get another record or at least a full capacity crowd anyway at the Sydney Football Stadium. I think from the FFA point of view, they'll be pleased that the Central Coast and Jets have made it, because, you know, it's a huge derby, and of course all the fans don't have far to travel, so I'm sure it will be packed out and will vindicate their decision to hold it in Sydney, which I think is the right one.
Now, the Mariners and the Jets, Craig, who will be the two or three key players, do you think, in that game?
Well, the Mariners got a lot of injuries at the moment, but there's no question that Petrovsky and Aloisi will be the key for them. Yedinak's been good in midfield as well, but really, you know, most of the rest of the Mariners team are more or less just role players. You know, they're good players, but they're hard workers. They're more of a team based on, you know, a hard working team ethic rather than any real class football, in my view. Aloisi will be key because of his experience and ability to get goals in tight situations. I think the Jets and the Roar have been far and away the best football teams this season by quite some measure, and I think that's great. I think I'm very pleased that one of the best football teams, if not probably the best, in the Jets have made the grand final. I think that's good for the game. I think it's extremely good for the game. I wouldn't have liked, personally, you know, a Sydney FC Mariners final or a Glory or, you know, the teams that, in my view, don't play great football. It's always good to get a good passing team in the grand final, and I'd like to see the best footballing teams win all the time, because I think it's a lesson that Australian football needs to learn.
Now, Craig, I guess some fans have, very critical perhaps of some of your views on the A-League. There's been a criticism that, you know, you sometimes talk it down perhaps. What are your thoughts on that?
Firstly, I'm not aware of that. Secondly, I give my view and I give it honestly. And I think I say what I believe is in the best interests of the game, very simple. For anyone to say that, you know, SBS is not there for the game is patently ridiculous. We say what we believe the game needs to hear. I often say this, look, if the general public were, as they were 10 years ago, critical of the game, then all we do is promote it and try and promote the game. And that's what SBS has done for 30 years. Now it's turned to the point where I believe personally, and I think SBS, you know, all of us believe that the game has taken hold, and that now we need to discuss where the football is at and where it's going. It's quite simple. I don't believe in any way that's damaging to the game or the A-League. In fact, I believe the opposite, that we need to discuss the issues. I believe strongly in debate. I don't believe in this cheerleading promotion. You know, everything's great and everything's always fantastic. It's complete rubbish. Good football cultures discuss the game, and it's the difference between being a casual supporter or being a lover and real fan of the game.
Finally, a passionate football fan. I see you're reading the news now of all sports on SBS. I think many football fans have had eyebrows raised. How's that going?
It's just something different. It was a bit of a challenge, you know, that I was asked to do it, and I thought, something different. I'll see if I enjoy it. I'm quite enjoying it, but you know, you might have noticed that there's a lot more football coverage on the news since I've been there. Finish, it'll be pretty much all football. <my way. laughs> That's basically the way I'm approaching it.
So, does the newsreader get a say in that style of in the shape of the show?
Well, I've been there a long time, so you know, I know the people there. So, I'm making sure that whatever football stories are there every day, get covered. So really, in the end, what I saw it as was an opportunity on a free-to-air channel, on a news bulletin which hasn't pushed football for a long time, an opportunity for football to be pushed.
You're listening to 2XX 98.3 FM Community Radio. You're with The Near Post, and that was Craig Foster, voice of SBS, and he'll be back in a few moments. Arif, what did you think about Craig?
He has some interesting views on the Mariners. Don't think he likes them too much, does he?
No, he doesn't. And later on, he talks a little bit more about the style of play. And we discuss Celtic style of play as well.
But I think he does have a couple of valid points. These points have been raised by Aussie Pym as well, that the standard of the A-League could get better. I'll give you an example. On the night that I was watching the Raw versus the Jets game, on the other channel, ESPN, are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, ESPN. The,
we can say it again, ESPN.
the Manchester United and Arsenal game was being played. And just the quality, the difference, it was... was massive.
The Jets game was better.
So,
the other thing was a one-sided affair, and the Newcastle Jets rule went down to the wire.
It did. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think it's a good aspiration to have our game, the local Australian product, be somewhere close to what the English produce. I don't know if it's realistic, but it's a good aspiration.
Michelle, any thoughts on?
I actually agree with him. If we wanted to watch people just kick the ball forward, we'll watch Aussie rule.
Oh,
absolutely! Yeah.
We want to see some style and some entertainment.
Well, I mean, you do. You're the sort of person that wants your team to lose in the grand final, as long as they play beautiful football. Craig Foster loves you, Michelle. I can tell you now. He's not met you, but he will love you.
Hi, I'm Simon Hill from Fox Sports, and you're listening to The Near Post across the Australian Community Radio Network.
And now we have the second part of our interview with Craig Foster. And coming up after that, we'll have Geordie John from Bell North.
In the last 20 years, we've employed thousands of Scottish and English coaches to bring exactly that style of football over here. And that's what we've been. And we're thankfully now changing.
So, Craig, bring it back to Australia. So with the salary cap of 1.8 million or whatever it is, you don't think that restricts the style of play?
Is possible? I think that's ridiculous. How can the salary cap restrict the style of play? You explain it to me.
Well, doesn't it affect the level of technical ability that you're going to get? Like the play?
Why does it?
Because surely
if the Raw, for instance, have played pretty good passing football for the last 3 years, or if Victory played good football last year for a lot of the season, were they restricted?
I guess they were restricted in the sense that not all teams can play the same way. Because you've got a limited number of players that are technically capable of playing
Victory had a limited number of players. Everyone's got the same amount of players, same amount of money. So can someone explain to me why the Victory can play football and so many teams can't? Are you telling me it's a salary cap?
Well, I'm sorry. What I would suggest it is, because to replace a Fred or a Zolo or a Cruz, those players aren't that easily replaced.
They bring Hernandez, and can't Hernandez play?
Well, he didn't play for a long time, did he? And also Zola and Cruz, you know. I mean, there is a finite number of players, that's what I'm suggesting, Craig, who can produce that.
What's that got to do with the style of play?
Well, doesn't the better player under pressure have the ability to control the ball, release the ball quicker, you know, find a pass?
And what's that got to do? So the Jets played good football this year, and for instance, the Glory played rubbish. What's the difference between the two sides? You tell me.
Well, I would say the difference is that the Jets have been able to keep the ball on many more occasions. But I would.
So what's that got to do with the salary cap?
Well, isn't that to do with the quality of player? Or you're saying that, you know.
What's that got to do with the salary cap?
Well, presumably.
It's got nothing to do with the salary cap. It's about the players. They've all got the same rosters. They've all got the same amount of money to spend. It's about the players you buy to play the football you want to play. It's very simple. Okay? So Laurie McKenna buys players to play at Central Coast who he thinks is going to play the style of football he wants to play. It's very simple. He's spent the same amount of money as the Jets, spent the same amount of money as Melbourne Victory did last year. I mean, Fred was only on 80 grand a year. Fred was on a third of some of the guys who have come back, some of the returning Socceroos who are on 300 grand a year.
So the salary cap, it's really up to the coach, you think, to set the tone, and the players are able, you would say that all players and all teams are able to play the...
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it's got nothing to do with the salary cap. A coach, Gary Van Egmond, has the same amount of money to spend, exactly, take out the marquee player, has the same amount of money to spend as David Mitchell, as John Cosmina for next season, as Lauren McKenna has with his Mariners that won the title. Right?
Yep.
Now, same amount of money. You buy players to play a style of football that you want to see as a coach. Isn't that what coaching is?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens at the end of the day, after 3 years, is Laurie McKenna has his team playing a style of football that he wants. Because you encourage, but you send people out. He got rid of Noel Spencer. Presumably he didn't like what he was doing. He got rid of some players. He recruits some more. Yeah. And away he goes. And the style of play in the end, if all of them, let's say they were spending, let's say an arbitrary figure, the salary cap was 500 grand.
Yep.
And all of the coaches are screaming, saying, well, for 500 grand, all of the best players in Australia won't play for that, so we can't get any players who can play football, and so, you know, no team can play. So, well, then you've got to raise the salary cap. But teams in the last 3 years, several of them, in my view, have played very good football, much better than the rest of the competition. Ultimately, that comes down to the coaches. It's very simple. You know, they look at John Cosmina, for instance. He had a kid, Sertalios, his name is, left back, I think he's about 17, 18, something like that. He's a good young talent, and rather than play him late in the season, a good example is he had Corica and Juninho available to play, and he came out and said, well, Juninho can't play with Corica, I can't play these two together because they're both too attacking, and Juninho doesn't have a defensive bone in his body. Well, that's a philosophy of a coach, you see.
It is, but I mean, you can also see that. I mean, I suppose, Craig, for us to talk about it, you know, from our viewpoint is fine. But when you're a coach under pressure and you're thinking, oh, you know, if I go too attacking and play a technical, or not a technical, but a particularly style of play, which may be very exciting,
do you, you know, is that risk, I suppose, that a coach is
That's a view that you take. I don't take that view. I take the view that to actually... See, this is the very discussion that you'll find in Scotland, and nine times out of ten, 9 out of 10 Scottish fans will say to you, no, you can't play, you can't keep the ball, you can't play a good attacking football because you're going to get beat. Well, that's why they rarely qualify for anything and don't win in European trophies for how many years, right? The point is the best nations in the world actually do it. And this is the whole discussion Australia needs to have.
But I'm wondering, Craig, whether that comes from the development of the young kids and the coaching system rather than a coach.
To what I said earlier. If you play a certain style of football, you develop a certain style of footballer. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
So, we're just using Scotland as an example here because, firstly, you raised it, and secondly, they're very similar to us because we've had a British lamp for 30 years. You can't tomorrow, this is the point about Strachan or whoever, you can't tomorrow just turn around and play like Argentina.
No.
Because the players aren't ready to do it. What you have to do as a country, like France did, is decide we are going to play top quality football, and it'll go right down to the under sixes, and then the players start to learn how to play that. But if you don't make the change, you don't get the change in players. It's simple fact.
But do you make the change when you're a coach of a particular A-League club who's perhaps had a few dodgy results? Or
what you do is you bring in players who can play that way. I mean, don't they have four foreign players?
Yep.
Okay. So how good was Hernandez in late season? For whatever reason, but in late season he was outstanding. Fred was brilliant. The boy Rodriguez, I think it was Rodriguez, Milton
last Rodriguez.
Year with the Jets was fantastic. He didn't play all the time. I would have preferred he did personally, but an outstanding player. These players are the ones who can then give you that football. That's why Celtic buy Nakamura.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the point. But the Scottish are never going to produce their own Nakamura while they have their kids belting the ball up the park and tackling everything. You see, it's the same here. That's the reason why I support the Dutch coming in, because they take the opposite view. Let's go back to the comment. Let's look at Australia. Perfect example. The Socceroos playing under Frank Farina, and Frank was saying, and he was still a young coach, but he was saying, look, this is the best we can do, basically, and these players are only as good as what they're playing now. And we were conceding possession all the time. I remember we played South Africa, we played the Confederations Cup, we got destroyed by everyone. And when we're 1-0 down, we can fight because we're Aussies, and we come back and we lose 3 games, concede 10 goals, but probably scored 8. Right?
Yep.
So, but he basically believed that the team couldn't play any better than that, and that if he was to go and play good attacking football, he'd get destroyed. He didn't come in and in three. How much? What was the change in 3 months?
Oh, certainly a big change.
Okay. Same players.
Yep.
Why? Because the Dutch philosophy, the Dutch vision of the game, is we're going to keep the football.
Okay.
And as soon as someone launched it down the other end, he said, well, what are you doing? You play that pass and you don't play. That's what coaches should be doing in the A-League, in my view.
And that was SBS analyst Craig Foster. We love Craig on the Near Post. That was a very forthright interview, I think. And
Very strong views, didn't he?
He does have strong views. We all have strong views, but Craig's, I think, were slightly stronger than mine on that occasion. But I must admit, I enjoyed the interview, and it's a good discussion. Michelle, you had you very much in favour of Craig Fossey's views.
Yes, I agree with Craig. I think we need to change the way we play. I mean, we're bringing people from overseas, and once they get here, we're not really playing their style of play as well, and it's hard for them to adapt to our style. So I think in Canberra now, futsal is big, and the kids are developing new skills, and I think that's going to change the way everybody plays.
I think certainly over the last few years with the futsal and the small-sided games that's happening, I think the skill is going to continue to improve. But, I mean, we have produced international-class footballers already, so, you know, let's not be too hard on ourselves. Arif, what do you think?
Oh, I think that he's what he was talking about here, the change of philosophy, I think it's beginning. I think what he has to realise is, I mean, let me just from the outset say that I do, in principle, agree with him. But I think he's a little bit harsh in the sense that we've only had the A-League for 3 years. Now, we've only had Hiddink for, 18? He was only 18.
He's only there for 6 months.
He's only there for 6 months, but 2 years ago. Now, the change in philosophy, maybe it did start with Hiddink, but, you know, you really need the philosophy to be ingrained in the little kids, you know, your under sixes. I think he mentioned that. And you need those under sixes to grow up with the philosophy. So by the time they're, you know, 16, 18, it's been ingrained into them. And then we can be producing even more of your Zulus, your Cruisers, your Jacob
Burns. But what about the joy of football? It's very serious, isn't it? Discussing the tactics and that.
It is.
What about the joy where your team goes out and you scream like ballyho for your mate or whoever's playing down the team, whether it's under sevens or, and you just want your team to win.
You do. You know, to win.
I know. So that must be I'm not Scottish, but that must be the Scottish in me.
But it's the skill level that makes football different to the other codes of football.
True, yeah. But we do love the skill. You know, when that guy goes past his fullback, I mean, there's no greater feeling. I mean, that's as good as a goal, isn't it? I love the skill, but I still want my team to win.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'd much rather win.
I think the thing about Fozzie that's good, though, he's aiming for the top, and he's aiming to move Australia from a football nation that is just, you know, we're happy to get the World Cup. He actually wants us to be somewhere different.
I think that's what the philosophy of SBS, whether it be Les Murray, whether it's Craig Foster or any of those.
And things. I know it has been irritating to some fans recently, but on the other hand, you know, it's good to have that debate, isn't it? It's great that we're having this football debate.
We'll get there, I think, but it's just going to take a bit more time.
He just needs people with more vision like yourself, Michelle, on board and leave, you know, the old fellas like me dreaming of a 1-0 win with 9-10 men behind the ball. But there you go. Okay, well, that's Craig Foster, and we thank Craig for his time and his interview. Coming up next, we're going to have YI Man from Bell North, Geordie John.
Hi, I'm Lydia Williams from the Matildas. You're listening to 2XX 98.3 FM Community Radio. If you go into the near post, get there first.
I was sitting by the computer doing a few words, and before I knew it, this car pulled up with a black and white flag out the window in the middle of Canberra's suburbs, and I thought, why has that guy got out the car with a black and white flag?
What happened amazing this morning, I was sitting here at my computer looking out the window, and this mad football fan turned up. I saw this car turn in, next door neighbour, flag up, black and white flag up in the air, and he gets out, jumps out of the car, and he's got this Newcastle United English football t-shirt on. What is that all about, John?
It's about the Newcastle Jets winning last night and getting through the final of the year league.
So, although you're from a land over there, from Newcastle, you've got you sort of take on any team with Newcastle in their name.
Yep, definitely. The Novocastrians, got to support them.
So you're driving around Canberra with this Newcastle flag out up at the wind. Do you think anybody in Canberra knows what this black and white flag symbolises today?
Probably not, but that's just where I am.
So who's going to win? Newcastle? This is probably...
And apologies for that. We seem to have technical problems with Geordie John, and apologies to Geordie John. He'll beat me up when he finds that I've... stuffed up his interview, never mind. I'll play more of it next time. But basically, Geordie John, he was desperate for Newcastle to win. He thought all Novocastrians from around the world unite. He said every Newcastle fan in Geordieland, England, would be supporting Newcastle Jets because they'd look for the name and they'd either be watching it because it's going to be screened live into Newcastle or they'd be cheering them on. And certainly it makes you wonder whether the two clubs should link up in some way. It'd be good for... at least good one Newcastle team would win, because the one in England never seemed to win. But probably not good for Gary Van Egmond with, he'd probably develop a sort of English style of coaching system or something. Anyway, that was Geordie John, as I say, apologies. Okay, Capital Football News. What's happening out there in Capital Football?
We've got club registration, which happened last Saturday, but if you want to register, you can still register next Saturday.
Get in quick because they're expecting record figures. And
I think they're already starting the grading, so yes.
Yeah, and some teams are already... I know Gungahlin and lots of teams. Are your boys out getting graded?
For under-10s and above.
So some clubs are already starting grading and, what else?
Get registration in. And we've got the Capital Football Coaching courses for 2008. So if you log on to the website... you can get all the information.
There's a big course tomorrow night. Kelly Cross from the FFA is coming down to talk to the coaches about the Under-20 World Cup and the style of play. So this is part of Fozzie's dreams, so that we can all understand how the game should be played, as opposed to how I thought it should be played. But anyway, but it's still, it's not too late. I think they're expecting 100 people, so we've been told. So that's tomorrow night at the AIS, and I would ring Alex Butt at Capital Football to find out more. It's still not too late to, probably not too late to jump in. Any more?
Yeah, if you want to be involved with football and earn some money at the same time, why not register to be a referee? I think they've got courses starting soon.
They have. They've got a women's scholarships course for referees starting as well, and so they're trying to encourage women into the game. And I know there's a, yeah, it's quite, I don't know the full details, but the scholarship's on offer. And again, it's details from Capital Football website.
And you need to be 13 and above, I think.
You do. And Tuggeranong United FC Juniors, they have... they have a coaching, women's coaching mentor course, which I thought was an interesting initiative. Again, go to Tuggeranong United Juniors website, and you'll find out details of how they're going to mentor some women's coaches. They're trying to get more women involved in the game. And I guess one of the big things that clubs have got problems with this year, I suppose every year, given the massive numbers in the football community, in the junior ranks, is volunteers. So if your child is out there, don't just sign your child up, sign yourself up. It's a great way to get involved. It's I know there's different ways of supporting the game. Michelle, you love to support with your bongos when you go in to watch the...
I take my bongos to the Kanga Cup finals, I did for the futsal final.
So if you're out there at the Kanga Cup this year, or futsal, or if you just happen to be passing a football ground, that could be Michelle on her bongos.
Don't sit next to me.
Don't.
You'll be deafened by the sound.
How long have you been doing the bongos at football?
Oh, we actually only started last year because... you know, Canberrans are not really so much into the bongos.
We weren't really into it, but we are now. We love football and we love bongos. And I believe that you used to be a rugby league fan, is that right?
I used to a couple of years ago, but since the A-League started, I haven't really given rugby league much thought, actually.
Yeah, that's interesting. The change is
so
coming.
Maybe, Ari, if we can compete against the other code of football.
Hey, I'd love it if we could. And not if we could, when we do.
Well, the averages for rugby league are about 16,000, and for the A-League, they're 15 and a bit thousand. So I know that the rugby league has many more games, but who would have thought our average would be the same? Only me. I would have thought. I'm surprised we're not bigger already, but there you go. That's just me. Okay, what else? Oh, the tradies, they're having a 4v4. Ian Shaw is developing a 4v4 tournament. It's a great idea. He's developing technical skills on how to beat people and encouraging players to score goals, all those things that we want our young players to do. So that's a great tournament.
I think Craig would approve.
Craig Fozzie would approve, and even if he doesn't, we approve. And we think it's great because we like to see exciting attacking football. So that's going to be down at Canbar Oval, 4v4. It's open age, I think, from 11 to 16 age group. Males and females, and under 18, and also open age teams. So if you're indoor or outdoor players or teams, you can play. So go to Capital Football website, www.capitalfootball.com.au. And we've got about 20 seconds left, and then we'll be ready to go.
Get ready for the final, I guess.
Yep. Okay.
Go the Jets.
Go the Mariners. And,
No.
Okay. So thanks very much, Arif and Michelle. And if you're at the grand final this weekend, or if you're from Newcastle Jets or Central Coast players, if they're going to the near post, they've got to
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.